Take your Bible. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. When you get to Genesis 5, find verse number 18. And then let's work towards standing, if we could. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And if you would stand, we're going to start at verse 18. I'm going to read these verses out loud to you. Then I'm going to go to two other verses, and I'll read them. You'll need not turn. Of course, every verse that we read will be out of the King James Bible, God's inspired, preserved, perfect, holy Word of God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, if you'll just listen, I'm going to read to you from Jude, verse number 14, and the Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Tonight the sermon is how to please God. Only two people in the entire Bible is it said that they pleased God. One is Enoch. We'll talk about the other in just a moment. And let's do this. The sermon's about pleasing God. As you listen tonight, won't you please God in the way that you listen? Concentrate on what's preached. Don't play with your phone. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about after church. Concentrate on the sermon. That would please God in your hearing. And let's pray. Father, reach down from heaven and do something special in our service tonight. God, the Bible is powerful. The truth is spectacular. Do not let the frailty of the one delivering the sermon hinder the supernatural ability of the truth, the sermon. May the Holy Spirit of God take this simple little truth and make us better Christians because of it. Lord, we just like to please you. Help us to do it, and help us to do it better because we came to church tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. The sermon is called How to Please God. I have to tell you that when I was growing up, it was my desire to please my parents. I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to please my dad. I remember as when I'd surrendered my life to preach, and I'd gone to Bible college and graduated. And I can remember one night when I was talking to my dad as I was in the ministry. And I remember my dad telling me this. He said, "Son, I'm very pleased. I'm very proud of you. I'm glad you're serving God. I cannot tell you how much it meant to me to hear my dad say, I'm very pleased with what you're doing with your life." I had a coach when I was in high school. His name was Mr. Stanley, and probably most men here would understand this. A coach is a pretty powerful influence in a young man's life. I like all sports. I like eating breakfast. I like eating lunch. I like eating supper. I'm very good at it. I could join the United States Olympic eating team. I love sports. But I did. I loved sports when I was growing up, and I loved to play basketball. And I worked very hard to play good basketball for my coach. And we had a particular game, and I had played, and he felt like I had done a good job. And I remember in the locker room after the game, he told everybody, he said, "Owens, you impressed me tonight. Thank you. You just pleased us all with what you did." And I remember the word, "You pleased us all with the way you played." It meant something to me. Boy, it was a feather in my cap. I've worked at many secular jobs. I have a boss named that I worked for years. His name was Stewart. And I can remember when I finally turned in my resignation working for Stewart and that I was going to go into the ministry. I remember Stewart saying to me, he said, "Jeff, the years that you've spent here have been good years." He said, "I've been very pleased with your service here at our company." I went to work and I became an assistant pastor. And I remember my pastor one day telling me, he said, "I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased with your work." I remember my pastor one day saying to me, he said, "You know what? I wish you were my son. I wish you were my son." Oh, it meant something to me. When my coach said, "I'm pleased," that meant something. When my dad and mom said, "I'm pleased," that meant something to me. When the boss said, "I'm pleased." When my pastor said, "I'm pleased." It's a funny thing. I don't know how much we all tend then to work toward pleasing those that we love. Could I recommend something to all of us? We ought to love God supremely. And we ought to want to please anybody. I mean, more than mom, more than dad, more than a boss, more than a coach, more than the pastor. We ought to want to please God. The sermon tonight comes from the story of the man by the name of Enoch. Enoch was a man in the Old Testament. We read about him earlier. And one day, Enoch was walking with God. You say, what exactly does that mean? Well, in this case, what's happening, and look right at me, folks. In this case, Enoch was probably, he was probably out taking a walk, having his prayer time. And as he's walking along, he was talking with God. And God said, "Enoch, come on up here with me." And the Bible, we call it translated. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Suddenly, he was not. God reached down from heaven and took Enoch up. Now, today, if you are walking along and you come up missing, we're going to put your picture on a milk carton. And we're going to put our all points bulletin out there, or an amber alert. In this case, Enoch was so close to God that God said, "Enoch, come on, come up here with me." I think God enjoyed being with him so much, he just went ahead and transferred him to heaven and didn't even require him to die first. Wow. Enoch is mentioned in the New Testament. Hebrews 11:5, I read it to you. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him." And it says, "For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, again, we see that word translated means transferred, basically. And it said that God took him, and it said, "And he was not found." Now, we sometimes read the Bible and we get in a hurry and we don't stop and notice something. If someone was not found, it meant that they were looking. Right. I think people were looking, but he wasn't found. Now, in the Scripture, God said, "I'll tell you what happened. I took him." God had translated him. His testimony before God, before he got transferred to heaven, was that he pleased God. That word "please" there means to entirely gratify, in agreement. In other words, Enoch was on the same page with God to the point that God said, "I want more time with you, and I'm going to pull you up as close as I can." Huh. Can you imagine God enjoying time with a human being to the point that God said, "I'm not leaving you down there. I'm getting you up here with me." Wow. How would you like to have that placed on your tombstone? Enoch went down in history as the man that pleased God. It's said of no one else in the Bible except for one, Jesus. It is said of Jesus, God looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son of whom I am well pleased." That means Enoch was like Jesus. It's no wonder God wanted to take him up. There's in heaven, we have a triune God. That's the Trinity, the prefix T-R-I, meaning three. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit there in heaven together. And God enjoys that. Can you imagine, though? God said, you know what? There's one that's like us. It's Enoch. And he was so much, he was, remember, the word please means to entirely gratify as a result of agreement. Enoch saw it God's way. And as a result of that, God said, come on to heaven. What a testimony. Before God transferred him, the testimony was that he pleased God. And I think this, I think people knew that Enoch pleased God. I think his family knew that Enoch pleased God. I think his friends knew that Enoch pleased God. I think his enemies knew that Enoch pleased God. I think his parents knew that Enoch pleased God. The community knew that he pleased God. The people he worked with or worked around, I think they knew he pleased God. For what will you be known? Samson was known as a womanizer for a good part of his life. Demas in the New Testament became known as a quitter. Solomon became known as a guy that loved wedding cake. He had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. I mean, Jeremiah became known as the weeping prophet. Thomas became known as what? The doubter. But the Bible says Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. Folks, don't let the Christian life become too complicated for you. Say, what am I supposed to do with my life? Please God. Preacher, tomorrow's Monday. What should my goal be tomorrow? Please God. Then comes Tuesday. What's your goal on Tuesday? Let's please God. Wednesday? Please God. What are we going to do on Thursday? Just get up in the morning and please God. How about Friday? What's the big plan? Please God. Saturday? Please God. At home? Please God. At work? Please God. Listen, when nobody can see you, he can. Please God. Please God when it's easy. Please God when it's hard. Please God when there's a crowd that desires to please him. Please God if you must do it alone. I don't know what your passion is in life, but I will tell you this. For whatever you put your energy into and whatever it is that you have a passion about, more than likely you'll get a testimony in regard to that passion. But just in case you'd like to be known like Enoch, Enoch was known as the man that pleased God. It ought to be the testimony of every Christian. Just have the testimony you want to please God. I'm going to, in just a matter of a few minutes, I'm going to show you very simply what I noticed about this man named Enoch and how it is he accomplished such a powerful, what a great testimony he pleased God. First of all, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, let me read it. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And in verse 22, 23, and 24, twice it mentions Enoch walked with God. It says Enoch walked with God in verse 22. It said Enoch walked with God in verse 24. You say, what does that mean? Well, his mind was always thinking God's way. His mind was always thinking spiritually. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You say, what does the word stayed mean? Get this. The word stayed mean locked in. Folks, you're not supposed to think God's way at church only. You're to think God's way on your way home from church tonight. And you're to think God's way when you get home tonight. You're to think God's way on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. We're not just to think God's way when we're at church. We're to walk with God. Every waking hour, do what God wants you to do. Think the way God wants you to think. Work the way God wants you to work. Play the way God wants you to play. When I got to thinking about the word lock, a handful of men were over at Preacher Croom's this week, and I got to thinking about the trailer that was brought in and left there with all the tools and the equipment in it. And then I noticed there was a hitch. On the back of the truck, there was a ball, and you take that ball hitch and you put it together and you lock it in, and it becomes as one. And we, you and I, our minds are to be stayed on God. It's equivalent to locked in to God like a ball hitch. In other words, God's the pickup truck. And I'm the trailer, and we are locked in together. Wherever that truck goes, I go. If he says go backwards, I'm going to go backwards. If he says go forward, I'm going to go forward. If he says we're going 55 miles an hour, we're going 55 miles an hour. If he said we're going to stop, we're going to stop. If he says turn left, we're going to turn left. If he says turn right, we're going to turn right. We're one and the self same. We are stayed. We are locked together. Everything Enoch did, he did it thinking through it spiritually. Everywhere he went, he thought through it spiritually. Every word he said, he walked thinking God's way. Every penny he spent it wanting to make sure it's what God wanted. He wasn't just spiritual at church. He was a full-time Christian. And folks, that is the Christian's ultimate goal. It's to walk and converse with God all day long. He prayed to God, not just when he was desperate. It was his life. He got up in the morning, started talking to God. Everywhere he went, he was talking to God. Dr. Jack Hiles told me, he said, when I was preaching at Sword of the Lord conferences, he said, so often I would preach with Dr. John R. Rice. He said, Dr. Rice and I would share meals together. He said, and so many times we would leave a restaurant and, you know, maybe walk down the street to get back to the church where we were preaching. He said, we'd both be concentrating, preparing, you know, we're getting ready to go to the church service and preach. He said, Dr. Rice would always, he would walk rapidly. He said, he'd be out in front of me. And Brother Hiles kept saying, what'd you say? What'd you say? He said, Dr. Rice would be walking and talking. And Brother Hiles said, I thought he was talking to me. But Dr. Rice wasn't talking to me. He said, just talk to God. So there wasn't anybody there. Brother Hiles said, I'd be just two or three steps behind him, and Dr. Rice would be up there talking away. Brother Hiles every once in a while would say, hey, were you talking to me? And Dr. Rice would say, shh, don't interrupt us. Folks, it ought to be that during your day, you are walking with God. At work, at school, at home. See, Enoch was more interested in the life he had with God than all the other parts of life. You're to put God at the forefront of everything you do. See, folks, that's Christianity. Religion in this world is almost a big game. Walking with God is a lifestyle. And it's 7 days a week, every waking hour. And so, you say, I would like to have the testimony that Enoch had. He pleased God. Well, what do we see? Well, when the Bible tells us he pleased God, it tells us he walked with God. And it's no wonder that God reached down and said, Enoch, come on up here. Why? He walked with him. And I don't know. I'm not sure that God didn't tell Enoch what he was going to do. I mean, if Enoch was in constant communication with God and God decided to translate him, who knows that Enoch didn't say, what are we going to do today, God? Where are we going to go? God said, in a little while, I'll just reach down and bring you on up. Enoch probably said, sure thing. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. And God said, well, they're probably going to be looking for you. They're going to be a little bit worried. And God probably calmed him and said, don't worry, Enoch. They know. who you're with. If you came up missing, what would they think? You just ran away? With Enoch, God wanted him. Not only that, not only did he walk with God, Enoch lived by faith. Hebrews 11:5, speaking of Enoch, and Hebrews 11 is what we would call the famous chapter of the heroes of the faith. It says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the next verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You understand? The whole sermon is how to please God. Here it says, Enoch was translated because of his powerful faith. And then God follows it up by saying, without faith, you cannot please God. So, if you want to please God, you're going to have faith. And I think if you want to please God in a big way, you've got to exercise faith in a big way. From where does faith come? That's easy. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, oh, Pastor, you just think the Bible's the answer for everything. Thank you for the compliment. Thank you. I certainly do. What does that mean? Well, it means that Enoch was living by faith, and his faith was in the words of God and what God said. I don't think Enoch made all of his decisions based on his emotions. He made his decisions based on faith. I don't think Enoch made all of his decisions based on the balance in his bank account. He made his decisions by faith. I think Enoch believed there was a heaven. And I think that Enoch wanted to influence people toward heaven. He believed that there was a heaven. I think Enoch in his day would have been what we'd call a soul winner. I think he was out to influence people. He was a man of faith. By faith, he gave his time to God. And by faith, he gave himself to God. By faith, he gave his money to God. By faith, hey, when everybody else in the congregation was saying, I'm not sure it can be done, Enoch was one that said, God can. God can do it. God can heal. God can fill the church. God can meet the need. God can pay the bills. God can. God's alive. God's still here. Enoch was the one that was always saying, God can. God can. God can. Enoch wasn't a God can't guy. He had faith. He had faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch probably had a faith that was so unique that God said, you just believe in me so much, let me make your faith sight. And Enoch said, I know someday my faith is going to be sight. And God said, how about today? And Enoch probably said, I don't really want to die today. God said, I can do one better than that. When I believe when God reached down and picked up Enoch and brought him up to heaven, I think Enoch was, can you imagine how pumped he was? He probably had him a Baptistal fit. Woo-hoo! I knew it was real. I didn't tell everybody. Faith. He had faith. I'll tell you, most of us only push ourselves to our own limits. Very few times do people actually risk in commitment to God by faith. I thank God for my wife and her faith. Went off to Bible college and sold out everything by faith. Went to pastor churches, came here by faith. Sold our house, left our family, our doctors, our dentists, friends, mechanics, all security. Why? We had faith in God. We believed God wanted to do a work in New Bern, North Carolina. By faith. By faith. Wasn't by sight, but by faith. And God has taken care of us. You can tell I'm not starving. There's more of me than what there was 4 years ago. You say, preacher, was there doubt? Well, sure. Let me explain faith to you. Faith is this. Faith is believing something, and then doubting that something, then stepping out on the belief and not the doubt. You see, doubt is one of the ingredients of true faith. If there is no doubt, there's no need for faith. The presence of doubt is the very thing that necessitates the faith. You say, preacher, I have faith, but I have some doubt. That's how it always works. But you step out on your belief. Don't stand still or go backwards because of your doubt. Now, when was the last time you exercised faith for God? Take a simple thing of giving someone a gift. God speaks to your heart about giving someone a gift. Do you know that most people give based on how much they have, not really how much somebody needs? Folks, listen. Don't make what you do always based on what you get out of it or what you get to keep. Sometimes have faith that God knows what He's doing. If a life of faith can be compared to a ride at an amusement park, some of you always get on the kiddie roller coaster. You're a grown adult, but you always get on the kiddie roller coaster. You, as far, again, if faith were like a ride at an amusement park, some of you get on the choo-choo train. That's the only thing you ever ride. Sometimes in life you need to get on the big roller coaster that's going to scare you to death. Take a chance. We put faith in a lot of things. How many of you have ever ridden on an airplane? Would you raise your hand? Okay, you can put your hand in. Let me tell you something. If you can put your faith in a human being and an airplane, if you can put your faith in that, you can put your faith in God. God's never crashed anything. How many of you have ever driven out on the highway, driven a car out on the road? Would you raise your hand? If you can put your faith in women driving on that road with you, some of you men are really mustered some power today. You're saying amen. I can't get you to say amen when I'm preaching about the blood of Jesus. I can talk about women drivers and every man here saying, come on, preacher. Chuck the corn. Bring her down. Make it happen. Listen. Learn to live by faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. You say, but I have some doubt. Doubt is a part of the ingredients of faith. You believe something, you doubt it, but you don't let the doubt stop you. You step out on the belief. That's what makes it faith. And if there's not doubt, that doubt is the very thing that necessitates the need of the faith. Live by faith. Enoch, he pleased God. How did he do it? He walked with God. It was a 24/7 thing with him. His passion was to be in communication with God, realizing that God was alive and watching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then he lived his life by faith. He believed God. He believed and wanted what God wanted more than what he wanted. And he was willing to take chances for God. But not only that. This is the last thing, and then won't be long. We'll be on our way. I believe that Enoch very willingly spoke out for God and spoke of God very willingly. We read earlier from Jude, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these." Now, the word prophesied, you think that only means that he preached, but that's not so. He was always speaking of God. He spoke up for God all the time. See, he walked with God. He was constantly practicing and promoting faith. And the truth of the matter is, I've got a feeling that Enoch was one of those guys that he talked about God all the time. He was never in a crowd of people where he would not talk about God. And folks, can I tell you something? Now, I don't think you ought to go out and try to be religious, weird, and freak people out. But can I tell you something? If you're ever in a crowd of people where you can't mention Jesus, you're in the wrong crowd of people. Maybe better yet, you're the wrong person. You ought to be standing up and be willing to mention Jesus in any crowd. I've been many places where it was loud and wild, and all I have to do is pop my Bible out and flip her out and begin to talk about God, and it can get very quiet. Matter of fact, I can get a seat in any crowded room. I don't believe that Enoch was ashamed of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that he prophesied, he spoke, and he spoke of God and of the things of God. We live in a society today, and I'm so saddened by it. And young people, I wish you didn't have to live in this society, because we've got this thing called being politically correct. And they're trying to almost make it so that it's inappropriate for us to talk about Jesus or to go out soul winning or to spread the gospel or to pray wherever we are or take our Bible to work or take our Bible to school. All those things are good, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. And we've got to be careful that we don't cower about who Jesus Christ is. I don't believe that Enoch was ashamed of who Jesus was, and I think he spoke of him. I'll never forget. I did not get saved. I had just turned 16. My pastor was a very courageous man. And although the story I'm about to tell you, he wasn't trying to get any attention, I remember that my pastor, he asked me, he said, "Would you like to go to McDonald's?" And I said what any red-blooded 16-year-old boy said, "Absolutely, I'd like to go to McDonald's." So we went to McDonald's, and I remember we ordered our food. And my pastor gave them some money, and when they gave him change back, I had a bunch of my friends were there, and I was there with my pastor. I was a little intimidated about this whole thing, because here I'm 16, I just got saved, I'm with the man of God, I'm not used to that. I've got all these friends around the counter at McDonald's, and my pastor gave the cashier the money, and when they gave him back money from his 5 or 10, he said, "Well, praise the Lord." And I said, "Shh." I didn't think he realized, "Preacher, we're not at church." I told him, I said, "We're not at church." I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to somebody just praising God in front of everybody right there. I'm looking around, and all my friends, they got real quiet, and there's the pastor. And you know something? If I were you, I've grown a lot in the Lord. I wouldn't go to a restaurant with me, because I'll praise the Lord when I get change back. And my food's good. We praise Jesus. I'm all for it. But listen, I do not think Enoch was afraid to speak out for Jesus. And I don't think he was a smart aleck. And I don't think Enoch was somebody, I don't think it was show. I think he meant it. I think Enoch, he belonged to God, and he was ashamed that he belonged to God. And if any place he was going to go, he wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Throughout eternity. Talk about Him. If you want to please God, you've got to walk with Him. You've got to exercise faith. And then you just got to talk about Jesus everywhere you go. Talk about it. I thank God for our church, the atmosphere around our church. And, you know, you come to our church and we're kind of busting at the seams. Every time we get enough room in an auditorium, we fill it up and we're full again. But I'm going to tell you something. Part of that is because our congregation leaves this place and we're not afraid to talk about our church. We go tell people, "You ought to come see our church. Well, you ought to see what God's doing at our church. God's doing something at our church." We have all sorts of people that pop in at our church because they drive by and they just can't figure out what in the world's going on. They're like gawkers. There must be a circus in town and we're going to go to it. You know, if you keep talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus, I'm going to tell you, the devil's crowd is not going to stop talking about their trash. They are not going to shut up. And we have just as much right. Matter of fact, we have more right to talk about the Bible and about Jesus and about heaven and about the Holy Spirit of God and about truth and about good things. If you want to please God, just keep talking about Jesus. If you want to please God, keep your faith in God. Keep believing in heaven. Keep promoting the things of God. Don't cower in doubt, but step out in faith. If you want to please God, you just act like that all week long, every day. And I'll promise you, you too could have the reputation of one who pleases God. I'm not real sure how it happened. A man named Enoch had spent his life to date talking about Jesus, exercising faith, getting up in the morning, praying and reading his Bible. And he got up one morning. He didn't know anything was coming. He did what he always did. He got up in the morning and took him a walk. He was talking to God. And somehow God said, Enoch, today, I want you to come on up here. And I'm sure Enoch was pleased. And the next thing you know, people are looking for him. Where's Enoch? Some mocker probably said, well, he's probably in heaven. And the day that mocker went to hell, he found out that's exactly what happened to Enoch. Hey, do you have a time and a place when you meet with God? I wonder if God wanted to translate you tomorrow and he showed up at the place where you should have been, but you weren't walking with him. You might have missed your ride. Let's all desire that testimony. Simply, let's please God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not a born-again Christian, we invite you to the Savior. Why don't you get born again? You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know I'm going to heaven. All right. Then who here tonight would say, Preacher, I want to learn that. I want to walk with God. I don't want to just think about spiritual things when I'm at church. I want to do it throughout my day. I want to learn to please God. I want to do it by faith. I want to do it by talking about Him. I want to walk with God. And God has spoken to my heart about this matter. And you'll raise your hand and let God see it. Lots of hands. Yeah, sure, you may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will begin to play and we're going to stand. I think there's some of you, if you would, you ought to leave your seat. You ought to come down here and get on your knees and say, God, help me. I really do want to please you. I want to talk about you. I'm going to exercise my faith in you. I'm really going to believe. And Father, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I don't want to forget about you by Monday or Tuesday. I want to walk with you. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at this altar? Do you walk with God? If tomorrow God wanted to translate you, but He was going to do it as a result of your walk with Him, would you be where you ought to be? Would you be doing what you ought to do? Enoch's thoughts were spiritual thoughts. Enoch's decisions were spiritual decisions. Enoch's conversations were spiritual conversations. He wasn't playing religion. He wasn't playing church. Enoch spent his day thinking about the reality of God and what does God want and what does God think and what can I do for God? How would God want me to do this? How does God want me to be a mom? How does God want me to be a dad? How does God want me to be an employee? How does God want me to work today? How does God want me to act toward my children? How does God want me to act toward my mom and dad? Who does God want me to marry? Who does God want me to love? Who does God want me to like? Who does God want me to listen to? Who does God want me not to listen to? Enoch all day long was possessed with the thought that there was a God in heaven and that God deserved Enoch's attention. In other words, not like us, where we ignore God most of the time. Enoch ignored the world most of the time, and he locked in on God like that. That pickup truck in the trailer, that hitch, they were hitched, whose mind is stayed on thee. Walk with God. Have faith in God. Talk about God. And you too could be known by God as one who pleases God. This is the last time through the song. In a moment, we'll be on our way. And although we may leave the church property, don't you leave God behind. Walk with God as you go on your way this evening. Thank you, Sarah. I think the greatest challenge of my life is so many times I say, God, I don't want to forget about you today. I want to keep my mind on you all day long. And I blow it over and over and over again. All of a sudden, I find myself hours into the day, and I've not spoken to him. I've not even considered that he exists. And then I try to correct it. And I don't know about you. Maybe that's not your goal, but I'd like to be able to walk with God all day long, every waking hour. But you got to keep correcting it. Now, the devil gets your mind off track. We get busy. You say, but how can I succeed if I've got my mind on God? Let me explain. He is success. He is your success. He will give you the victory. He will control your mind and help you to succeed better than what you could ever succeed on your own. Don't ever get the idea you just need God some of the time. You need God all the time. He pleased God.